Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. So we continue on in our series in the book of Luke. This morning I'd like to spend a little bit of time just looking at one character. And I know we're getting closer and closer to the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we come to this spot and this moment, at this portion of Scripture, there is a couple characters I'd like to take notice of and pay attention of. This morning we're going to look at what I would consider one of the greatest tragedies in all the Bible, and it's the story of Judas, Luke chapter number 22. And then tonight we're going to look at a similar thought process in the story of Peter. Luke chapter number 22 is where we're at in our study in the book of Luke. And the title of this morning's message is The Power of Choice. The Power of Choice. Mr. Cartwright, could you put that verse up there for me from this morning? So there's one verse I'd like to begin the sermon and the thought with. It's found in John chapter 10:10, and Mr. Cartwright's going to get up there for us on the PowerPoint. It's the only scripture that we're going to look at from the PowerPoint this morning, and I'd like to just get this into your mind. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So in that scripture, in that reference, what it's talking to is it talks a little bit about what Satan's desire for your life is and what the Lord's desire for your life is. And in the story of Judas, the amazing thought is he was such a privileged gentleman that he got the opportunity to walk with Jesus for 3.5 years, had great opportunities, he had great warnings that was given to him, and he still made a horrible mistake. Here in the story, you're going to see what the devil's desire for his life was. You know, when he betrayed Jesus Christ, there was some reason for that. He had goals in his life. He had thoughts in his life. There's something he wanted to accomplish. There's something he wanted to do. But inside of that, what he did is he chose the things of this world over the things of God. And the devil, he bought into the devil's lies. He thought that maybe getting some money for Jesus would make him happy. He bought into the thought process of maybe if he would just kind of push things along, that Jesus would become king. We don't know exactly his motives, but we do know what the Bible says about this man. And you consider this story, you see someone who had great possibilities and someone who had great opportunities to do something great for God, but in the end, he's hanging at the end of a rope that breaks and he bursts. He kills himself in suicide. How can someone who had such great privilege and such great opportunities and such a great purpose that was given to him as being a disciple of Jesus Christ end up with so much heartache and tragedy that he would take his own life? Suicide is something that is running rampant. If you think about it, across America, is something that is very sad. It's something that many times people that just do not have hope, or sometimes are overridden with their guilt, sometimes overridden with despair, sometimes it's because of physical difficulties, sometimes it's just dealing with not knowing how to deal with what's going on in their lives, and they don't think they have any other choice but to take their own life. I had a young man that came on our out yesterday passing out information for a vacation Bible school, and he said, "Pastor, pray for one of my friends. He's having suicidal thoughts." You know what? God has a great desire for your life. You look at what the scripture says in John 10:10. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." It says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So the devil's desire for your life is to steal and to kill and to destroy it. He doesn't have your best interest in heart. He could care less what happens to you and what happens in your life. But so often and so many times we choose to do things his way instead of God's way. But the second part of the verse says, "I am come." And it's talking about Jesus Christ, the reason why he came into this world. As we looked before in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he says, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." He is also saying, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That Christ is offering something much different than what the devil was offering. Christ was offering a life of peace. You think about it, Christ was offering a life of fruitfulness. Christ was offering a life of service, yes, but service for the King of Kings. There's a difference of what God desires for your life, and there's a difference what the devil desires for your life. Say, "Pastor, of course, that's obvious." The question is, why do we choose many times to do things the world's way or the devil's way versus the things of God's way. Many times we think we have it figured out right. We think we got everything, the great understanding. And sometimes we think we may know more and understand more than God. The Bible even talks about how the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. This morning I'd like to look at this man Judas. And the title of the message is The Power of Choice. God gives us an opportunity to choose who we will serve. God gives us an opportunity to choose whether or not we will believe in Jesus or not believe him. God gives us the opportunity to follow the ways of him or choose to follow the ways of this world or the devil. Let's look here in Luke chapter 22. Let's start in verse number 1. The Bible says, Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. So during this time is the time of a feast. It's the time of the Passover. It's representing what happened back in the days of Egypt when they were passed over the houses that had the blood on the doorposts. If not, then the firstborn was killed as a plague. It was a representation of them being able to be free from their bondage in Egypt. This was the greatest celebration of the year for the Jewish people. And many, many people would come from many distant lands to just come and worship during this time of Passover. And as everyone's there and they're getting ready for the Passover, it says the religious leaders are planning something different. Look what it says in verse number 2. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Now, if you've been with us in the study, the chief priests and the scribes, they are Jesus' enemies. They have made Jesus a mortal enemy, in a sense. They want to put him to death. Is it because he was a murderer? No. Was it because he was a thief? No. Was it because he was hurting society? No. They were putting him to death because they didn't understand who he was. And if they did understand, they rejected who he was. And we've looked at that over and over. So they had come to the spot that they have rejected him so much that they came to the spot. They says he needs to die. He needs to die for the sake of the nation. And they made up reasons and they had purposed in their own mind why it was justified in killing him. If you see the verse that's up here, it says that the thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The devil has that desire. He doesn't care about how you feel. He doesn't care about getting you what you want. He might present lies like that, but in all reality, all he wants to do is to do his own motive and accomplish his own means. But Jesus offers us something different. He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. The religious leaders of the day had fallen into the traps of the devils and the lies of the devil also, and rejected Jesus as the Messiah because they could not get past the thoughts that there is someone else who knew what was right and someone who was trying to bring them to repentance and bring them into a right relationship with God. These religious leaders, instead of planning for the Passover, they are out there trying to seek a way that they may kill Jesus, murder him, but they wouldn't do it amongst the people. They were afraid. We looked over and over throughout this book at their hypocrisy. How they would be hold people to the letter of the law, but then they can kill an innocent man. How they would watch Lazarus raised from the dead, but still try to figure out a way not to believe. Look what it says in verse number 3. It says, Then entered Satan into Judas, named Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. So we see here that Satan enters into Judas, and we're not going to take a long time to help you understand this, but we have seen before in this book and throughout the Bible that demon possession is real. Demon possession is something that when a devil enters into a person's life and as he no longer is in control of what he's doing. You say, well, can that happen to a believer? I do not believe that a believer can be possessed with the devil. The Bible talks about how greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and that darkness and light cannot be dwelling together, but Judas Iscariot has not put his faith and has not put his trust in Christ, even though he's walked with him all those years, even though he's seen all the miracles and heard all the teachings, he had the opportunity. But we see here from this that Satan enters into him. It says in verse number 4, he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. So Judas turns his back on the one who was the most lovely person ever to walk the face of the earth. He turns his back on the one who had helped so many. He turns his back on the one that I believe he knew that he was the Son of God. And he goes to betray him. You look at another passage of scripture in the book and the Gospels, and he goes and says, What will you give me? Judas is known for being a thief. Judas is known, it comes out later, for being a thief, for being a liar, for being a hypocrite. He hears Jesus rebuke him at the day when Mary goes and anoints Jesus' feet with that expensive perfume and that ointment, and then Jesus rebukes him, and he understands that Jesus is talking about having to die for the sins of mankind, being given over to the hands of the chief rulers and the religious leaders, and he realizes that Jesus' kingdom is not coming at that moment, not coming at that time, and he was not going to get anything out of following Jesus. All he was desiring was following Jesus, so maybe he could sit inside his kingdom. Maybe he could be one of the rulers in his kingdom, but he realizes that's not going to happen. So he allows this thought of betraying Jesus. And it says Satan enters into him. And it says in verse number 5, and they were glad and covenanted to give him money. If you look at different spots, and for sake of time, we're not going to go all the way around, but it was 30 pieces of silver that Judas betrays Jesus. Verse number 5, it says, and they were glad. I marked that in my Bible. I thought the religious leaders, they were trying to figure out a way to do something wicked the right way. I don't know how you can do that, the wicked thing the right way in their mind. And they were glad when this opportunity just kind of presented itself. You know what? We never figured out a way, but now the opportunity is here. Now we can do this dastardly deed. Now we can do this wickedness. Be careful of the different opportunities the devil will present you. You think about it. What did Jonah, when he was told to go to Nineveh, what did he do? He went down and he found a boat going to Tarshish. All of a sudden, there was a boat sitting there going directly the opposite direction. Things don't happen just like that for no reason. The devil allows things to happen and makes things to happen to be able to have the opportunity. Judas has heard that the religious leaders were trying to put him to death. Judas became that opportunity that the religious leaders need to be able to betray him, to be able to take him privately so that way they could have him be crucified. In verse number 6, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. He sold a Savior. He sold the precious Lamb of God for 30 pieces of silver. Say, Pastor, why is this sermon applicable to us today? There's a lot of things that we can learn from the story of Judas. And it's going to be 3 simple points this morning. Judas had opportunity. Judas ignored the warnings. And Judas made dangerous choices. And I want you to understand that today that all of us have a choice. First of all, what are we going to do with Jesus? In a little while, we're going to see that Pilate asked that question, what should we then do with Jesus, or this one that's called the Christ? We had to make a personal decision, am I going to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and believe in him as my personal Savior and ask him to save me from my sins so I can spend eternity in heaven? But after that, I know many of you have done that in this room, maybe not all, and today you can get that, you can understand that, and you can know Christ as your personal Savior even this morning. But we also have a choice of whether or not we're going to serve the Lord or serve ourselves. You consider what the verse is saying, that the devil has a certain desire for your life. The devil wants to accomplish something. He wants to accomplish his will. But then you also see that Christ is offering you something. He's offering you life and life that's more abundant. I want to show you in this story of Judas, a man that had great privilege and great opportunity, that man that was warned repeatedly, and a man that made a horrible choice and never got what he thought he was gonna get. And I wanna tell you today, that's the devil's way. He paints a pretty picture. He tries to tell you, this is what you'll get. This is how life will turn out. This is how wonderful life will be. If you'll just follow me, you'll follow doing my ways. But all the devil is interested in doing is killing and destroying and robbing people of the joy that they could have in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right into the message, the power of choice. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this opportunity to be here and, Lord, be able to worship you. Lord, as I've been thinking, you know what's been on my heart this week, how many times people make the wrong choice. They believe a lie that the devil has to present. They believe in the lies of this world that they can have a greater life and a better life doing things their own way and walking the ways of the world. But in the end, there is so much devastation and so much destruction. Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, as we look at this man who betrayed Christ, did this horrible thing, help us to see that the devil has no interest in helping us. Help us instead recognize Satan as the liar and the father of lies, one who has no interest in making our life better, but one that has the interest in destroying and robbing and killing the joy we could have in a relationship and in a fellowship with Jesus Christ. But also help us to see what Christ has to offer us. Help us to see the opportunities he gives us. And Lord, help us to see that it's not just life that he's offering, it's everlasting life, and that would be enough. But a life that is more abundant, a life that's filled with joy, a life that's filled with peace, and a life that's filled with fruit of serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. First point I want you to think about is Judas had opportunities. Judas had opportunities. And I'm going to read some scripture throughout the messages. You just try to re-emphasize the points. But Judas had opportunities. If you go back, you remember that Jesus on more than one occasion had sent out his disciples. One time he sent his disciples out. They went out two by two and they went into the other areas and they came back and they were excited. They talked about how they ministered the word. They talked about how even the demons would have to listen to them when they used Jesus' name. And Judas was some of that. Judas had the opportunity to serve. Now, how do you figure that out? How does a guy who never put his faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ ever get to be able to serve in that way? You know, I don't have all the answers. I do know that Jesus has sent him out and they were two by two. Maybe he was blessing the work of the other individual. I don't really have the answer to that. There was also another time when they sent out the 70 and there was 35 pairs that went out and they had ministered and they had done great things for God. And Judas was a part of that. Judas had the opportunity to serve the Lord. Not only did he have that opportunity, he had the opportunity to hear Jesus speak. I think many of us would say, wouldn't it have been wonderful to sit there and watch when Lazarus was raised from the dead? Wouldn't it have been wonderful when he watched and he saw that young man that was coming out in that funeral procession and he raised him from the dead? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been there and watch Jesus break the bread and the fish that fed those 5,000 people? And not only did he watch that happen, he actually helped serve that. He actually gathered up the 12 baskets and he actually had a part in that. He had the part in watching him walk on the Sea of Galilee, and he had a part in seeing and experiencing all these things. He got to see God work. He got to see God move. He also had the opportunity to hear Jesus teach. He imagined not only was an opportunity to serve and witness the miracles, he had the opportunity to hear Jesus teach. And then sometimes we talk about the parables, and sometimes it seem like they're maybe a little deep and a little bit hard to understand, but could you imagine Jesus there just teaching the parables and Jesus teaching that about how he's the door and just an amazing teacher that he was? What it would have been like to just sit there and listen to him teach, maybe from Peter's boat or maybe on the side of a mountain, and whatever it was, Judas had all these opportunities. Judas also had the opportunity to get right. We see over and over that in the scriptures, Jesus told Judas that he knew what was going on. Over and over in the scriptures, he had told Judas that he knew that he was going to betray him. He didn't call him out on it, you know, right in front of his face, except towards the end. But later on in this chapter, in verse 48, it says, "But Jesus said unto Judas, Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Jesus knew exactly what was happening, and Jesus still loves Judas. He has this opportunity to get right, even towards the end. Judas is in there, and they're going to see in a second about the warnings. He's there at the Last Supper, and Jesus kept on reminding him. He says, you know, there's one of you that's going to betray me, and then he knows it's Judas, and Judas knows that it's him. He could have repented. He could have said, I don't want to do this, but no, he still goes off. I want you to see the opportunities he has. He has the opportunity to serve. He had the opportunity to hear the preaching and teaching of God. He had the opportunity to see the miracles. He had the opportunity to get right. Over these 3.5 years, he could have given his heart and life over to Jesus Christ. He chose not to. Because he had these great opportunities, I also want you to think for a second, Judas ignored the warnings that were given. Go ahead and take your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 gives us the story that is found, and there's a statement that's found there that I've always found very interesting, and also very as a warning that should be given to anyone who wants to die without Christ. Over and over, Judas was able to fool the other disciples, be able to fool everyone outwardly, but Judas did not fool Jesus. Even in John chapter number 6, when it talks about how he had talked about being the bread of life, that many of the disciples that were there with him walked away. And then he looked at the 12 and said, "Will you not go also?" And they said they weren't going to go, but he responded this way: "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Years earlier, he had said, "You know, one of you is a devil." And I can imagine that Judas is thinking in his mind, "He knows me. He knows my heart." At the Lord's Supper in Mark chapter 14 and verse 21, there's an interesting thought that's there. And I remember the first time I read that. I'm sure it wasn't the first time I read it, but the first time that the Lord brought that thought to my mind. It says, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." So Jesus is here, he's eating the Passover with the 12 disciples, and he's told them, "Look, one of you is going to betray me." And they even go around the room, they say, "Is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" Jesus is giving a warning here, and he says this warning, and he says, "The Son of Man indeed goeth." If you're looking at that, look at what it's saying. The Son of Man is going to go. There's no doubt that he is going to die. The work of God is going to continue on. He came to this world to die on the cross. The Son of Man goeth, and look what it says, as it is written of him. He's speaking to the 12, and he wants Judas to understand. He's saying this for Judas. He is giving Judas a warning. Not only did he have an opportunity, Judas had warnings also that he was going the wrong way and that he should not do what he was planning on doing. He says, "The Son of Man indeed goeth. He is going to die as it was written of him." But then he says, "But woe to that man." He says, woe is the idea of warning. He said, "Look, stop. Consider what you're going to do. There is going to be judgment ahead. Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." He's speaking to the 12, and Judas is sitting there. He says, "Woe to that man that is going to betray the Son of Man." Now, look here for that next phrase. That next phrase, over the years I've thought about this. It says, "Good were it for that man if he had never been born." And I thought, Judas, it'd be better for him if he'd never been born? Think about it. Judas did good things. Judas was part of the 12 that went out and performed miracles and preached the gospel. He was part of the 70 that went out. You know, he had accomplished some good things in his life. I'm sure he had done some things that were profitable and some things that were good. But Jesus is saying it had been better for that man if he had never been born. I wonder why that is. And the only conclusion I got from that warning and what he was saying is, look, it'd be better for you to be born, never been born, than to live and die and betray Christ, or to live and die without knowing Christ. You think about that. If you're here today and you do not know Christ, would it have been better for you to never ever have been born than to die without him today and spend eternity in a horrible place called hell? Yes, you might in those 70 or 80 years might have been able to do some good things. You might have been able to raise a family. You might have been able to give. You might have been able to serve some way. But Jesus is looking at this man who walked with him for 3.5 years, and he's telling him, look, I know who you are, and I'm warning you. You do not want to do this, because it'd be better for that man if he had never been born. And I want to tell you that your eternal security is nothing that you want to play around with. That if you need to make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible teaches us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that the world is perishing without Christ, and that if you do not know him, if you've never accepted him, you never place your faith and trust in him, I believe just as it would have been better for Judas and never been born, be better if you have never been born, if you die without him. Because after this world, there is a horrible place called hell. Well, people will spend eternity there. Judas ignored the warnings. Next thing I want you to think, not only did Judas have opportunities and Judas ignore the warnings, Judas made dangerous choices. Judas made some dangerous choices. There was a time in his life when obviously he had heard Jesus' teaching. There was a call for Judas. I don't think Judas was someone who could not have gotten right with God. I think he just chose the things of this world versus the things of God. His first dangerous choice was he chose the things of this world over God. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You think about it, there had to be a time and a moment in his life where he had to start despising the teachings of Jesus. There had to be a moment in his life when the miracles just did not impress him anymore. There had to be a time in his life when he experienced everything that was going on, but said, I still choose the things of this world. I still think it's more valuable for me to have 30 pieces of silver than it would be for Jesus to be able to follow him and to worship him and to make him my Lord and to make him my God. He chose the things of this world. He made a dangerous choice. The day he said, I'd rather have the things of this world than the things of God. Can you imagine what it would have been like to hear that teaching and see those miracles? John chapter 12, verse 6 is a story when Mary had anointed Jesus before his burial. And he said, Judas said, that maybe that should have been sold and given to the poor. John gives a commentary about what happened. He says, he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and bear that was put therein. John was saying that, yes, Judas seemed all spiritual and seemed all religious when he said, why didn't she take that perfume and sell it so we could have given it to the poor? And John says, no. He wasn't interested in the poor. He was interested in stealing. He was a thief. And you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I tell you, it's a dangerous choice when we say, I'd rather have the things of this world over the things of God. Another thing is he chose to be a hypocrite. He chose to be a hypocrite. You say, what's a hypocrite? It's someone who plays being something that they're not. And I go back, and as I was reading through these passages of scriptures, they're sitting at this table. They respected Judas. The 12, he was one of the lifted up ones. He was one that had the bag. He wasn't part of the inner circle, but he was trustworthy enough for the bag. He was the only disciple from the Galilean area. He was one of the true bloods when it came to the Jews. He was probably looked up to a little bit. And when Jesus was there, he says, one of you should betray me, and went around the room, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? No one stood up and pointed, it's that Judas. He's been stealing for the bag. They didn't know he had played a good part. He had sat among the religious. He had sat among the 12. He had sat among the church. And among the church, the devil was still working. In the midst of the church, there was still someone that was being moved around by the devil and by Satan. And that's, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful that we're not choosing the things of this world and that we're choosing to follow after the Lord, because going to church doesn't get you saved. Going to church doesn't make you right. Now, I think you should go to church. I think you should do the things that God tells you to do. But some people are so good at playing the part that if there was someone in this room who said, well, this person's going to deny Christ, who would it be? They didn't guess Judas. Even later on in the night, Peter motioned to John and told John, hey, ask Jesus who it is. And Jesus said this, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. And then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. They're sitting at the supper table, and they're there. And he said, Peter says to John, and John was laying on Jesus' bosom. He says, ask him. And John asked him, he says, whoever I give the sop to, that's who's going to be the one to betray. And the way the story is saying, he does that, and he gives it to Judas. And he says, what thou doest, do is quickly. Jesus is saying, look, if you're going to do it, go do it. Do it now. And you know what the disciples all thought? Oh, he's the one. They didn't think that. They said, oh, he must be going to do something to give to the poor. They were totally blown away by the fact that there was a person who was playing, a person who was being a hypocrite amongst them. They couldn't figure out who it was. He made a dangerous choice when he chose to the things of this world over things of God. He also made a dangerous choice when he chose to be a hypocrite. He also made a dangerous choice when he chose to seek forgiveness in the wrong place. So Judas betrays Christ. This is after the Garden of Gethsemane. This is after the trial. He has been tried and he has been convicted. He's going to die. And then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. Judas in his story, after he betrays Christ, and you know, once again, people have different thoughts and motives why Judas betrayed Christ. We know it was wicked. We know it was evil. Jesus even told him, hey, look, if you're going to do it, it'd been better if you had never been born. It was a point of no turning back is what Jesus saw what he was going to do. And when he accomplished it, that Judas was going to be despaired. And he was going to be filled with guilt, that he was even going to take his own life. But as the story goes, he gets sorrowful for what happened. He goes to the chief priests and he goes to the elders, and it says he repents to himself. And he says, I've done this wrong. He wants to return the money. He wants to stop everything that was happening. And you have the power to make a choice whether you're going to do what is right or do what is wrong, but you have no power in the consequences. See, Judas had the opportunity to choose. Am I going to betray him? Am I not going to betray him? He had a decision to make, but he had no way to fix that decision. He goes to the chief priests and elders. He says he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver, and he gives it back to him. He throws it back down. He says, you don't want anything to do with it. But the religious leader said, okay, we're going to stop the procession. We're going to stop crucifixion. That's not what they say. They said, what is that to us? Doesn't matter to us. He said, see thou to it. That means you did this. The blame's there. It was a dangerous choice because he did not turn to God for forgiveness. I think that if Judas would have went to Christ or would have went to the cross or would have put and asked God for forgiveness and repented instead to the Lord and changed who he was to God instead of repenting to himself, he would have found hope. He would have found mercy. He would have found grace. But that's not what he does. He seeks the wrong place for forgiveness. Pastor, what's the big deal? We all know this story. How does it apply to us? Let's bring it hopefully home to where we can understand it. Every person that lives has an opportunity. We do. We all have an opportunity. That opportunity first begins with salvation. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. There is a God that loves you and a God that wants to see you saved and a God that wants to see you in heaven for all eternity. There is a God who is offering you eternal life and everlasting life. It is a God that cares for you, and that's your opportunity. And inside that opportunity, there's an opportunity for service like Judas had. There's an opportunity for peace. There's an opportunity for joy. There's an opportunity to bear fruit. There's so much that's wrapped up into the Christian life. You have an opportunity, just like Judas did. Now, it might not have been as special because we didn't get to see the miracles. It might not have been as special because we didn't get to hear Jesus teach. But I believe God loves us just as much as he loves Judas. And I believe God loved Judas just as much as he loved Peter. He made a choice here. There was an opportunity. What are you going to do with that opportunity? Second thing I want you to see is that Judas ignored the warnings. And sometimes there's people in this that come to churches that ignore the warnings that God gives them. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I mean, sometimes we hear the warnings, you reap what you sow. That could be a warning. That could be an encouragement. Last week, you talked about the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. We talked about how the rich man was casting in their money and the widow. And then about the scribes and Pharisees, the warnings was that, you know, there's warning after warning after warning in the Bible about how we're supposed to live. You know, love not the world. There's over and over. But do we heed those warnings? Many times we hear them, and instead, we choose to do things our own way. Just like Judas, he thought by saying no to Christ and the things of God that he would enjoy his life more because he would have more wealth and more money. Last but not least, Judas made some dangerous choices. And there's some dangerous choices we can make also. Judas made a dangerous choice of choosing the things of this world over the things of God. I want to tell you this morning, after studying, you might want to argue with me. You might want to say, that's not what that verse meant. But when he said it had been better for that man to never been born, I think it would be better for an individual to never, ever existed than to spend eternity in a horrible place called hell. There's an eternity, there is an opportunity, and there's people who make dangerous choices. They'll come to a church, they'll hear the preaching, maybe year after year after year, and they'll even choose to play the part of the hypocrite. I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I'll even maybe teach in a class, or I'll even maybe give, I'll maybe sing in the choir, I'll do all these things, knowing deep down inside there's never been a day where you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior, and Lord, I'm putting my faith and trust in what you did on that cross. Judas had saw all the miracles. He knew there was something special about Jesus. But he has never given himself over to him and said, Lord, I believe. Lord, I want to put my faith and trust in what you're doing here. It's a dangerous choice. It's a dangerous choice to seek forgiveness in the wrong place. Some people think they'll be forgiven of their sins if they work and do works. Some people think they'll seek forgiveness if they go to a religious leader or some type of religious activity, some type of religious this, religious that. I'm sitting here and I'm seeing one of the most tragic stories of all time. One of the persons that had some of the greatest opportunities. Think about it. If Judas had not betrayed Christ, imagine what he could have done. Imagine what the other 11 did, the privilege they had. The Bible says they turned the world upside down. And then the 12th one that took Judas's place, I believe, was Paul. And Paul had the opportunity to turn the world upside down and write epistle after epistle. What if he would have taken advantage of that opportunity? What if he would have been that 12th disciple? He would have been the one that would rule with Jesus and his kingdom. He would have been the one with his name marked down in the foundations. You know, he would have been so much opportunity if he would have just chose the right thing. Amen. And I want you to understand this all together. It's a power of choice. I think we all know that and all understand that. We have a choice between the thief that cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, or life that is more abundant. And to you here today that do not know Christ, he is offering you a life that is more abundant, a life that is not only eternal, but a life that is a more abundant life here on earth. But I'm not only interested in those that do not know Christ, I'm interested in you that are here today and you're making choices and you're believers already. How come is it sometimes we turn around and do the things of the world and we do things that make the devil happy? We do things that we know what he wants to do with our lives. He wants to rob, he wants to steal, he wants to kill. He wants to do whatever he can to render us useless in the service of God. And how come sometimes we make that choice to serve him instead of serving God? That should convict our hearts. That should help us understand, you know, the devil's got a plan for my life and God's got a plan for my life. And when I don't do the things of God, I'm doing the things that pleases the devil. And he don't care about me at all. He doesn't love me at all. He doesn't have life that's more abundant. All he wants to do is self-sacrifice for him. He only wants to do things that makes himself happy and would help his agenda. So today, there's a power of choice. You think about it, you go back throughout the Bible, you see lives that have been ruined and lives that have been wrecked by the devil. I think about Cain killing his brother, living under a curse. Think about Achan and doing the things the devil wanted him to do and end up losing him and his family. Over and over, there's people in the Bible that did things the wrong way and never truly got it right with the Lord. We'll finish with one last thing. Go ahead and go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. I know most of you know the story. Most of you understand the things that are going on in the story of Judas. But after Judas went and repented himself to the chief priests, he didn't find the hope that it can be found by repenting to Christ. He was overwhelmed with his guilt. It says in verse number 1, Acts chapter 1, verse number 18, excuse me. We'll actually start in verse number 17 instead. It said, "For he was numbered with us." This is Peter speaking on behalf and talking with the other disciples. "He was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity." That was his reward for his sin. The reward of iniquity. Sin has its reward. But it's a reward we never ever expected. And it said falling headlong, meaning that he went and he hung himself. He burst asunder in the midst. And the thought there is the fact that as he fell, that the branch couldn't hold him. And as the branch couldn't hold him, it broke and his bowels gushed out. And you look at that and you think, what a waste. As I go and I try to keep up on the news a little bit. There's not a lot of good news segments out there nowadays. And I go out there and I read it, and I read this Hollywood superstar or up-and-coming superstar committed suicide. This singer committed suicide. This teenager committed suicide. And my heart goes out because there is hope. There is joy. There is peace that God offers. But they chose not to believe those things. And many times, they will write things, and as I'm reading the article, because I'm interested, because I'm concerned for this generation, I'm concerned for those that are living that beautiful life, and then they turn around and they make millions of dollars, but they still can't find hope, and they still can't find peace, and they still can't find, and I read things like, rest in peace, and you know how these other movie stars, you know, I hope your soul finds peace, and I think about sometimes you hear about these rappers that end up dying and before they're 25 because they're killed in some type of gang-related thing, and they're like, I hope you find peace and rest in peace, never ever caring about God, never ever being concerned about God, but they think that they're going to go to heaven, and they're going to see them in heaven someday just because everybody goes there. And I think about the devil, and they've promised him life. And if you got this, you'll be happy. Judas, if you just got these 30 pieces of silver, you'd be set. You'd be on the way. Jesus could probably get out of it anyway, just like he got it out of the other ways. And he believed lies. What concerns me is that there's many of us that are believing lies today, even as a Christian. That's okay if you do this sin. God doesn't care. It's okay if you act this way or you do this way, you treat your family like this. It's okay if you don't tell somebody about Jesus. It's okay if you don't pray. It's okay if you don't read your Bible. It's okay if you... We believe the lies, thinking we know what's best. And I see tragedy in this man's life. If there was not someone that could have had such a great and promising future, Judas was one of those. But Judas made some dangerous choices. And in the end, he betrayed Christ. And he felt like there was nowhere he could go. So he ended his life. This morning, I want to encourage you today, it is a power of choice. You have a choice to live for God or choose not to live for God. Tonight, we're going to look at a similar person and a similar style message, and it's the power of choice. We're going to look at Peter, and Peter had some choices. Jesus gave him warnings. He had opportunities. Jesus gave him warnings, and he still denied Christ. But what was the difference? Peter got things right in the end, and Peter was one of those who helped turn the world upside down. You can get right with him today. You don't have to live in misery. You don't have to live in guilt. The devil's the one that offers you guilt. The God offers you hope. There is hope. There is mercy. There is grace to be found at the foot of the cross. This morning, are you choosing the things of this world over God? Are you playing the role of a hypocrite in some area of your life? You say, Pastor, I am saved. I know, but are you acting a part in reality? Spiritually, you're struggling. Give it over to God. It's a dangerous choice to choose the world over God. It's a dangerous choice to play the part of a hypocrite. And it's a dangerous choice to seek forgiveness or help in anywhere else than Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.